to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Let's pray. Father, Lord, may you help us, Lord. May you help us to have that full surrender. Lord, that we would die to everything unlike you. Lord, that we would have that true, genuine love, that agape love, one for another. Lord, that you would let our lives live out, Lord, the manifestation of the promise, Lord, of this last day. Lord, that Christ would be on display. And Lord, that it would not be an emotion or a put on or a work up, Lord, but it would just be so naturally, Lord, that you yourself would be having your way. Lord, that you would be taking over the vessel. And Lord, that you would be on display where each one goes every day. Lord, help us and guide us each one. Lord, give us that unction, Lord, of the Holy Ghost, as we thank you and praise you now, asking for the leadership, Lord, to guide us in the furtherance of this service. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we see? It's good to see you, each one. Good to have Brother Richard with us. And we thank God for his blessings, his mercy and grace. Appreciate the song service. And we want to remember Brother Michael. He's had to work late every day this week. And so they've got a lot going on right now. And so they're demanding a lot of his time and attention. And we know how that is. I myself, kind of the same. I try not to work on Wednesday, and I try to take off on Wednesday and Saturday. I try to spend those 2 days in the study, and so today I had to work a half a day, and so sometimes it's hard. But we want to ask you to continue to remember Brother Benjamin. He's doing a little better. He's recovering, and so just continue to hold him up. You read it on the, when we sent it out on the text yesterday. So just be in prayer for him. The Lord will give him a quick recovery. And so I'd like to get right into the message now, and I'd like to continue on this thought. We've talking about the love of God and on Sunday, and there's so much that Brother Branham said about it that I just kind of felt impressed to go a little bit further, and if that impression stays there, I'll continue even on Sunday. And so there was a couple things that I wanted to say on last Sunday that we didn't get to, and so I want to put it in there. And I actually was talking with one of the quotes I have here. I was talking with the sister last week, and she was giving me her testimony, and actually it was Sister Lynn. We went over for Sister Edith's birthday last week, and Sister Lynn was kind of testifying a little bit, and so she mentioned a quote, and so that quote, it just fit right into what I had, what I was reading, and so I didn't get far enough on Sunday to read it, so I'm going to read it tonight, if the Lord willing. And so, but I want to have a lot of scriptures, and I've cut out a lot of scriptures, but the book of John, I'm going to read out of, and then I'm going to go to, I had some scriptures out of 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, 1 John 5. So John talked a lot about love, and he was the apostle of love, and he definitely was, when you're reading the Gospels, he was so much deeper in the revelation of it. He a whole different avenue, a whole different way. What he was expressing was so much deeper than what the other brothers were bringing. And they were bringing, the life chronologically. And it was all good, but there was just something different, something more touching about John. So in John 5, verse 37, "And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape." Now that's quite a statement. And he's coming down. He's identifying, he's speaking to this group and saying, and this is Jesus is speaking, saying that ye have neither heard his voice nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he has sent, him you believe not. Now he's identifying why they don't believe, or how he knows they don't believe. This is how he knows they don't. Of course, he's God. He knows it all anyways. But I'm saying it doesn't take that discernment that you don't have to be God. Once this is revealed to you, then you know the same thing. And because that's what the Holy Ghost does, it's teaching you and not going around saying who is and who isn't. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what he's saying, but he knows who is and he knows who isn't. Ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him you believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men. This is a very strong statement. This is a statement that's very powerful in our society. I receive not honor from men. This is, you can say men don't honor me, or there's more than one way to approach this statement. And so he was not a respecter of persons. And so in this society, we call it peer pressure. It's so easy to have that pressure to honor someone because of their position, and we give respect to that. The scripture tells us to give respect to those in authority, and so we do that. But when you find that somebody is willing to let down the word or let down the will of God because of honor and respect of men, it's a failure. It's a big failure. And it takes us away from God. It takes us out of the presence of God. Verse 42, but I know you that you have not the love of God in you. Now, this, you know, a lot of times, like I was telling you the other day, that I've seen things here that I hadn't seen. I've just seen them in a different way because of just saying that, well, they don't love God. What he's saying is they don't have agape love. That's what he's saying. You have not the love of God. They don't have that agape love. Because when you have that, when you are born again, then you have it. You have it. It's living in you. It's what is taking over. It's what's controlling. It's the thing that's being expressed through your physical being. And in this verse starts off, he says, I know you, that you have not the love of God. In other verses, he says, I never knew you. So here he's saying, I know you. And another place he's saying, I never knew you. And so in understanding that and understanding those statements, he knows them. He knows all things. But he never had relationship with them because they never opened themselves to relationship. They don't have the love of God, so we can't have that love affair. That love affair is only going to come when the love of God is in there. And the love of God is only coming in there when you have been born again. When you have the new birth, then the love of God is in there, that agape love is in there, and then it begins to express itself. So, I come, verse 43, I come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him will you receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? This is the honor we want. This is the blessing that we want. This is the one that we want to please. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There's one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. He's taken away their crutch. He's taken away what they say, what makes them believers. And this was a lot of people, the same thing today. They believe that William Branham is a prophet. They believe that God sent a prophet. They believe that a message has come. And they're trusting in that prophet just like they were trusting in Moses there. But God had come to a higher order. God had revealed more. And so unless we come up to that and we realize that it's more than a man today, it's not the seventh angel today, but that it's more than a man today, that God took over the vessel, that God began to speak those things which couldn't come through a man, which had to be spoken by God himself. And we know that it happened. We know that more on many occasions, Brother Branham said he didn't even know what was said. He didn't even know what was said because God had took over the vessel. And God can do that same thing in you. He can do the same thing in you. You can come into a situation where you're witnessing to somebody or you're ministering or you're doing something and God just take over. And he can do it. He does it because he has a bride. He has a bride on the earth in this last day. And that bride is yielding herself. She's dying to herself and he's taking over those vessels to manifest himself. There's one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. If they believe William Branham today, they would believe the seven thunders. If they believe Brother Branham today, they will be living the life. If they believe Brother Branham today, they will die to the things of the world. If they believe it, if they believe William Branham, then they will have that agape love living in them now. But if you believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Now, this remember, he said many times, it's not your works. It's not because you did this or you did that or you did something, but it's something that's living out in you. It's a reality that is living out. It's a life that's living in you that brings you in full obedience to every word of God. And he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Now that's a strong statement, isn't it? He who keepeth his words, in him, in you, verily is the love of God perfected. And hereby know we that we are in him. This was said 2,000 years ago. And this is the same thing our prophet preached to us. This is the same thing that has been presented in this day and revealed in this day, and the reality of it's come forth in this day. I'm going to read it again. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Every time I hear the statement just like that, I know it's agape love. I know it's God love. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. Now we've come to 1 John. Now I've jumped over. We left John. I've been moved a couple times. Love not the world, neither the things of the world, or that are in the world, sorry. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For had they been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Another powerful statement. That's quite something to say, that you know all things. And we know what he's talking about. They know the revelation of their day. They know the manifestation of God in their day. They know fully what God had done in that day, and he revealed to them those things. And the Holy Ghost in them is revealing to them those things. I went and I pulled a quote out of this for unction. I read a few places where Brother Branham used the terminology. He mentioned it several times. And it means to have an anointing, to have... God has anointed you for something. He's anointed you to do something. Here he said, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I'm going to read one quote here from it, but let me read one more verse, verse 21. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. And in this is in the message, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He uses this word unction, and I wanted to put it in here. Heal the sickness around us here. May it come to pass that people will walk in this auditorium and weep under the power of the Holy Spirit. Grant it, Lord. We long for these things, and we believe it's your divine will to reveal it to us now and to show us your presence, that you're here and ever alive and with us forevermore. That's what he's doing in this day. Bless us as we put forth our feeble efforts. May the Holy Spirit come in, and may we not think our own thoughts, but may we have our minds opened to the great unction of his presence, that we might know his mind, to fulfill which was written in the scripture, let the mind which was in Christ be in you. That's reality. That's reality living in the bride. Back to the scripture. But the anointing which you have received of him, that unction, abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. No man. You need not no man teach you. Why? Because that spirit in you is the teacher. He's the teacher. He's the one that's doing it. He's the one working the work. He's the one that's living the life. He's the one that's moving you, that's leading you, that's guiding you. He's the one, and he's doing it. Every day, he's doing it. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Amen. Those are just great, great scriptures and statements. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of God. And that's the only ones, and that's the only ones that can, and that's the manifestation of him in flesh. In his message that day on Calvary, this is the thing that Sister Lynn had shared with me the other day. And she just mentioned one little part, and I'm reading more of it, and just to put more of it in there. Paragraph 84, he was just one man, the perfect man. He gave his life, and he made an example for you. And now, what must we do? Now, the first thing I want to say is, Jesus never lived for himself. His life was spent for others. That's perfectly eternal life. What is it? Perfectly eternal life. He never lived for himself. He lived for others. And as Brother Gumba mentioned on Sunday, he was talking about sacrifice, that love is sacrificial. Brother Branham said love is sacrificial. Our life is sacrificial. Serving God is sacrificial. Loving your family is sacrificial. Everything that involves love and involves your spiritual life is sacrificial. You're always giving. You're always giving. You're always surrendering. You're always doing something for one another. And that's in your marriage. It's in your spiritual walk. It's in your family. It's in whatever you do. It's on your job. There's sacrifices that you make every day. Every day you make sacrifices. And so we want to give the best to Him. Now, what must we do? Now, the first thing I want to say is Jesus never lived for Himself. His life was spent for others. That's perfectly eternal life. And when you say you go to church and you do good things, that's fine. But when you live your life to yourself, you haven't eternal life. Is that strong? Is that powerful? You haven't eternal life. Eternal life is living for others. It proved it when it come in the Lamb of God. His whole life was sacrificed. His whole life was given for everyone, for the world. It proved it when He come in the Lamb of God. He lived and had eternal life. Because He did not live for Himself, He lived for others. And you receive eternal life by receiving that day. You don't live for yourself no more. You live for others. Someone said, how can you stand and let anybody call you such bad names? You don't live for yourself. You live for others. See? You live for others that you might redeem that man. Why are you sacrificing? That you might redeem that person. Why did Adam sacrifice life for his wife? To redeem. He redeemed her. I was telling Brother Goomba, I ran across a quote the other day, another quote that where Brother Branham said, why did he walk out? Why did Adam walk out? To take Eve? To redeem her. That's why. He sacrificed it all for His love for her. He sacrificed it all. Christ, He sacrificed it all. His love for His bride. That agape love is what did it. That's what put Him on Calvary. That's what paid the price for sin. That's what made the way for the Spirit to be here today, to manifest itself in the bride, to bring forth that agape love in a many-membered body. See? You don't live for yourself. You live for others that you might redeem that man. You become sons. And the trouble of it is, the church has forgot they were sons. You are sons. You're taking Christ's place. You are sons, so you don't live for yourself. Live for others. Well, Brother Branham, I can live for this brother because he's sure a nice man. That's not it. Huh? That's not it. See? Live for that man who hates you. Live for that person who would kill you if they could. There's the hard part in it. There's the hard part. And it's only hard when we're the one doing it. When we're the one trying to make it work. When we're the one trying to make it happen. When we're the one trying to produce it. Then it's hard. But when we die, and then He takes over and He's doing it, then it's not a problem anymore. He'll get it done. He can do it. He knows. He went to Calvary. He knows how to do it. He knows how to do it. Live for that person who would kill you if they could. That's what they done to Him. They killed Him. And He died that He might save them. And even said, forgive them. As He was dying, said, forgive them, Father. See? That's eternal life. My. When you get, that's in your bosom, and you're facing heaven then, see? But you sacrifice your own things. You give them up like the sheep gives its wool. You look on towards Calvary. That's right. I hope this helps you to get in a place. That's what the tabernacle, that's what all people has got to do, is find out what you are. And what's the purpose? That's another thing Brother Goomer mentioned the other day. He was talking about heavenly places. The believer's position. The believer's position. When we find our position, then we can truly do, as Brother Branham said, we can relax. When we truly know who we are, when we truly know where our place is, we truly know what God wants us to do, then we relax. We relax right there. Church isn't going to church just to play music, sing songs. Church is a place where there's correction. Judgment begins at the house of God. And we must reckon ourselves dead and alive to Christ. Then he made the way that we could sacrifice ourselves to his service, to follow him. If we follow him, we lead the life that he led. That's wonderful. Jesus said and spoke of it. Let me just give you a few quotations now. See, listen close. Don't miss it. And let's see. Jesus said that that day he would separate the people like the sheep and the goats. And he would say to the goats, stand on the left, and to the sheep, stand on the right side. And he said to the goats, depart from me, because I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was in prison and you did not visit me. I was naked and you clothed me not. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was sick and you didn't visit me. So depart from me. And on the sheep, watch this. This is really, it's powerful. And it's a reality. And he's going to keep us in a straight line. Because as soon as we start thinking that I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this, he cuts it down. He cuts it right in half. And as long as we're going to do it, then we leave him out of it. It's not you doing it. And if it is, he's telling us we're wasting our time. Now, and I know that sounds, it might sound a little bit off, but this thing has got to be a surrendered life. It's got to be a surrendered life. And he, let's see, and on the sheep, he said, I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you give me clothing. I was sick and you ministered to me. And notice now, don't fail to get this, church. Keep this in your heart forever. It was so unconsciously done that people don't do it for the line of duty. Let me ask you something. Do you think that all of those people that he's condemning in judgment, do you think none of them helped anybody? You think none of them helped the poor? You think none of them helped the widow woman? You think none of them worked and did around the church or did for people? None of them paid their tithes? None of them did this? None of them did that? No. Those are religious people. They lived a good life. Many of them lived a good life. Many of them did all of these things. But they failed it in the right way. They failed it in God's way. They failed it. They may have done it with a filial love, but they didn't get it with an agape love. And that's what it has to be. If it is in your spirit, it doesn't count. It doesn't mean anything to God. It only means when it comes all the way down to that soul. When it comes down in that soul, then it's God living and it's God doing it and it's a relationship and God is recognizing it. The people don't do it for a line of duty. A man that gives you something or other because he ought to do it, a man that feeds you because he ought to do it, he's got a selfish idea. Huh? He's got a selfish idea. It should be your very life, your very action. That's a fine line, don't you think? Don't you think that's a fine line? That's a razor edge between you doing it and him doing it? You say, well, if you're helping somebody, that's good. It is good. I'm not taking away from that. It is good. What he's talking about is not the deed, whether the deed is good or the deed's not good. What he's talking about is it a reality in here? Are you doing it because you need to accomplish this? Because you're supposed to do this? Because this is what Christians are supposed to do? That's what he's talking about. He's talking about, is Christ doing it? Or are you doing it? That's the difference. And it's a fine line. Listen, 95. It was so surprising to these sheep that they said, Lord, when were you hungry and we wouldn't feed you? Or he said it wrong. When were we hungry and we fed you? When were you naked and we give you clothes? When were you thirsty and we give you to drink? When were you sick and we minister to you? It was so automatically out of love. It's just their life lived in them. Praise be to God. That's what we want. That's what we're living for. That's what we're desiring. That's what we're asking God for every day, is to come to that place where it comes out of the spirit realm and it comes into that soul that is Christ that's doing it. I'm not doing it because I'm supposed to do it. I'm not doing it because I want some points. I'm not doing it because I want people to notice it. You're doing it so naturally that you don't even realize you're doing it. And somebody can come along and say, he'd done such and such and such. And you didn't even think about it when you were doing it. That's why the scripture said, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. And don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. That means you don't have to tell everybody every time you do something. You don't have to toot your horn. You don't have to stand on the podium and say, I'd give so-and-so this, I'd give so-and-so that. No. That's not what it's all about. God let people see what Calvary did for us. So automatically, when were you, Lord? We never knew that. Look what Jesus turned and said. Insomuch as you have done it unto the least of these, unto these, you did it unto me. And as like I said, I had to cut so much out of here but there's so much. There's so many things he said. When you get on some of these subjects, you want to read all of the details. But he spent a lot of time talking about, and the scripture said, I remember a scripture from long ago, by this will all men know that ye are my disciples, when you have love one for another. Is that scripture? Yeah. Is that the message? Yeah. That's what it is. And he says, how can we say that we love God when we don't love one another? So, then it comes down to one final thing. It has to be this love. It has to be this love. This is okay. You can have that. You can love everybody. You can do all of that. But that's not the one that God is expressing. God is expressing the agape love. And the agape love is a different kind of love than the filial love. And what the filial love thinks is important, the agape love don't think is important. And what the filial love might not think is important, the agape love, it's important. Because the agape love is that one thing. It's just one thing, and that is the will of God. It has one desire. It has one purpose, and that is the will of God. What is God's will for me to do? Just like we mentioned on Sunday, how Jesus walked right into that crowd and he said there was multitudes of people, and said he went to one person. He went to one person. That wasn't filial love. The filial love would have been pray for every person you could pray for. Try to heal every person that you could heal. That's okay. I'm not taken away from that. We're going to pray for anybody who wants to be prayed for. Don't get me wrong. I'm making the point of what he's teaching us here, of what he's revealing. That's the point. So don't get it wrong. Oh, I'm not going to pray for this. No, I'm going to pray for anybody and everybody who wants to be prayed for. But if I felt anointed not to pray for somebody, then I hope God will give me enough of the Spirit of God to be able to recognize that and walk away. And if he is somebody that maybe I don't know, or I'm in the middle of nowhere and don't know anybody and have just the leading of the Spirit to pray for somebody, that's only going to be one love. If I see somebody on the ground, I see somebody in distress, I'm gonna feel for them. But if I see a crowd of people and I don't know none of them and I don't know how to feel about any of them, God is able with that agape love to pick out that one and lead you to that one. And that's what Jesus did. He didn't do anything until the Father showed him. And that Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead is now living in the bride. It's in the bride. And there is a way. This doesn't sound wrong. There's a way to harness it. There's a way to work it. And you know what that way is? You sang it in the song a while ago. Surrender all. When you're not doing anything, when you can't do anything, when it's 100% Him, then it's going to work. Then it's going to go forward. Look what Jesus turned and said, "Insomuch as you have done unto these, you did it unto me." Unselfish life. Not the second thought. Not to think about it. But you are so dead to the things of this world, and so alive in Christ, and so walking on the highway, that these things are just an automatic thing. You just do it. Praise be to God. I want this. I don't got enough of this. I need this. I need it. I need more of it. I want more of it. And I'm preaching to me. I'm preaching to me. Now I say, when the Lord want me to do that, it's not that. It's you're just part of Him. His Spirit's in you. And you act the way He acted. Do you get it? See? Do you get it? You just naturally act. Your nature has changed. And it's Christ. And now it's just Him. Naturally, it's Him doing it. He brings the scripture. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Not all that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter in, but they that do the will of my Father, just from their hearts, just freely. See? Now that day on Calvary paid the price so we could be that way. You know, Widow Jones one time, she was out of coal, and I went and I bought her some coal. And I tell you, I seen a brother that needed a suit of clothes, and I went and I got him a suit of clothes. Bless God, I'm a Christian. Huh? Think about it. Here's the description of that. Oh my, you selfish, poor, miserable person, you are hypocrites. How are you going to call them selfish when they bought the suit and they bought the coal and they bought these other things? Huh? They were doing good deeds. They were doing good works. How are you going to call it selfish? Because it's coming from the wrong motive and the wrong objective. It's coming from the wrong place. It's got to be the right. It's got to be the right thing. It's not. Brother Branham said many times, it's not going to be the harlot and the drunkard that's going to be disappointed. They know they're going to hell. They'll tell you they're going to hell. They joke about it. They fun about it. They mock it. They all of that. They just go on about it. But it's that person that is in the church. It's that person that thinks they're living the life. It's that person that's paying their tithes. It's that person that's buying the coal for the widow. It's that person that's buying that suit of clothes. It's that person that thinks they're doing good and that they're building treasures in heaven. That's the one. That's the one that's going to be disappointed. That's the one that thinks that everything they're doing is God when they're bringing that glory to themselves. And any time we want to bring it to ourselves, we miss God. That's what he's saying. We miss it then. Oh my, you selfish, poor, miserable person, you are hypocrites. Don't let the right hand know what the left hand's doing. Don't let the left know what the right's doing. See, just so automatically dead in Christ till you do it anyhow. It's your nature. I like that. It's your nature. You just do it. It's your makeup. You do it anyhow. See, it's just the life that lives in you. You're completely yielded to that spirit, and it just lives itself in you. Praise God. I know it's not me. I know it's every one of you. You want that same thing living out. You want it. You want it every day. You want it every day. You want to feel it. You want to know it. You want to know that it's not you doing it, but it's Him doing it. And it's just happening naturally. Brother Brandon, really, he stressed that a while ago. He said, this one group here, they had it all stacked up. I did this, I did this, I did this. This other group, they're saying, oh, we fed you? We did this, we did that. When did we do that? We visited you? When did we do that? They didn't even know what they had done. God, let it be that that treasure that's stored in heaven, that's in your account, you don't even know what's there. You don't even know. You don't even know you're doing it. It's just being done every day so naturally that you're not taking note of it. You're not keeping a record. You're not adding it up. It's just there, naturally coming out, living out from you. Well, I tell you, Brother Branham, see? Oh, no, I'm sorry. Paragraph 104. Oh, you feel that blessed spirit, that life. Not me that liveth, said Paul, but Christ liveth in me. Just so automatic. Well, I tell you, Brother Branham, we are Christians here. We help these people. We help them people. Oh, my shame on you. That's not Christianity. Christianity is just automatically, it's to be done. And you just forget about it, see? Go do it. Christ just completely surrendered his life to God. He gave himself as a public servant to the people. He gave his life freely. He didn't have to do it. He didn't begrudgingly do it. He didn't say, now, brother, you all ought to think of me, a whole lot of me, see, because I come to die for you. He never said a word about it. See, he died anyhow because it was God in him. It's God in you. It's God in me that makes us look at others. And it's all a surrender. It's all a sacrificial love that you have. When he died at Calvary, he made a way. He gave up the Spirit, see, the Holy Spirit, that he sent it back to earth for you and I to live by. That's what the door that he opened to bring it back to what it would be. That's why Calvary, although it was a finished work in paying the price, it was not the finished work of redemption. Brother Branham said, redemption is in two parts. And that other part came in this last day. It came and it was fulfilled and it finished the work. And it brought Christ down in his bride and to bring it to the manifestation that he had in his mind before the foundation of the world. See, he gave up the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that sent it back to earth for you and I to live by. That's what Calvary means to us, to follow him. First, look into it. See what it did for us. And now, what must we do in regards to it? What must you and I, see? I appreciate that. That's very fine. But we've got to accept it. To accept it is to accept his person, Christ, in our hearts. His person. That's what Brother Branham said in the message, Leadership. Eternal life, you've got to accept the person of eternal life. The person of eternal life. Then we are free from sin. Then there's no sin shackles hanging on us at all. See, just like we never sinned, the perfect sacrifice made us perfect. For Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. See, then there's no more. No more to be done, but we are made perfect in the presence of God. We are made perfect in the presence of God. No matter what man thinks about you, no matter how man looks at you, that's the perfection we're after. Paragraph 84. Now, what must we do? The first thing I want to say is, Jesus never lived for himself. His life was spent for others. That's perfectly eternal life. Now he's repeating. That's perfectly eternal life. When you say you go to church and you do good things, that's fine. But when you live your life to yourself, you have an eternal life. Eternal life is living for others. It proved it when it came in the Lamb of God. He lived and had eternal life because he did it not for himself. He lived for others. And you receive eternal life by receiving that day. You don't live for yourself no more. You live for others. And that's, when brother was talking about that the other night, I thought that it's nothing but the truth. It's nothing but the truth. And the more I thought about it, the more I realized our whole life is a sacrifice. His whole life was a sacrifice. Everything was a sacrifice for others. Everything he did, he was doing it for others. Someone said, how can you... I must have doubled here. I'm repeating, aren't I? I think we've already read that. And... I don't know how. Somehow I put that in there twice. Well, somehow, okay. So I have a few scriptures here I'm going to read, and we're kind of out of time, but the children's not in school right now, and so I try to consider them during school because when. When you getting them up in the morning, you see just how tired they are. When they're in school all day, it's really hard on them, and really working their brain and playing and everything else. And so, but this is the greatest thing. And God, you know, sometimes we make that sacrifice, and God knows how to give us strength. God knows how to bless us, and we thank God for that. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Behold what manner of love. We know what manner. We now know that there's two kinds, and we know which love it is that's being expressed in the children of God. We know because it's been revealed. They didn't know. It's been revealed in this day. It's now we know. Now we can read these scriptures and we know what's the difference. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. And whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. You know, these are beautiful scriptures, and a lot of these came alive in this day. A lot of these came alive to us after the seals were revealed. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, see, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. And he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God. Which love? The love of God. Because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother hath need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. Amen. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. And we just read the other day where Brother Branham was talking about the man who said, I pray and we don't get nothing. And he said, you pray for the wrong thing. When you have this love, you pray for the right thing. And when you pray for the right thing, when you pray in the will of God, God is obligated. God is going to fulfill that. When you're praying for his will, when you're praying for what he wants, it's going to happen. It's going to happen because that's what he had in his mind. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him, and in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit that he hath given us. How? By the Spirit that he hath given us. Amen. And I think this is... I'm just going to read a couple scripture here. Just begin in 1 John 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. See, he says it both ways. He said it a while ago, he said it one way. Now he brings it from the other direction. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Praise be to God. That faith, that grace, it comes by his love. It's his love that revealed to Abel what was the right way. It was that. And so nothing else can come. Nothing else can produce it. Nothing else. They can impersonate all they want to, but nothing can bring forth that life except that seed. It's the Word coming to the Word. And so when it's him, it's going to be not... You have that love. You have that filial love, but it's going to come to that agape love. That's where he is. And that's what he's going to bring forth, is that agape love. Let us stand together. We thank him. We praise him. We know that his word is true. We know that he is here in this last days and his bride. Not just this, but he is here in his many-membered bride that is made up of every nation and every tongue and every kindred. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. It's, you know, Israel was a nation, and I was God's people. God chose that people. And they come to that place where many times we can do the same thing. They come to that place where they felt like they were the only ones, and that they were righteous because they were that God had showed them favor. It wasn't what they done or what they could do. It was what God was doing for them. And if they could recognize that, if they could recognize what God was doing for them, there was some in there. And the rest, they were doing their own thing. And it's the same. It's come all the way through the same way. It's there in the bride. There is a body that is surrendered because Christ is living in them. And then there's those that are trying to do it on their works. They're trying to do it on their theology. They're trying to do it on whatever they can do. And it's not acceptable in God's sight. So we want one thing. Had you sung the song a while ago. God, let us surrender. Let us surrender in all things. Let us come to that thing that we can put our ideas out of it, and that we can get the leadership of the Holy Ghost every day in all things. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Goomba if you'll come and I want to just continue to pray for Brother Benjamin, and remember Brother Michael, he's working. Bless you, brother. Bless you. Appreciate you. Bless you. Bless you.
I'm not seeing that. Is it in the group, Brother Dom? Is it in the group? About Brother Benjamin?
Yes. Oh. Yeah, last night I asked him to be in prayer for Brother Benjamin.
Yeah.
Because he's in the hospital. He had an operation on his urinary tract.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I actually put it on two groups, fellowship and the church, faith.
I don't know. Yeah. I think I've been on other things. I'm sorry. I didn't see it, brother. But I don't know why I've been praying for him. I don't know why.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
That's
that option,
right?
Yeah, yeah. That's so that. I think people thought when I mentioned his name here, like maybe he was, I didn't know. So praise be to God. And the Lord is going to take care of him. I'd like us to go back to that song again. Maybe I'm going to bore you. I'm going to bore you with it. But it's just the message that has gone forth. It's just going to get a bit of well. So I'd like to sing it again. I said it now. Brother Don, I try to search. I usually search it. I usually search quotes sometimes very fast, but this one is not coming as fast as I want. There's a quote of the prophet that says like this. Maybe I may not be able to quote it completely the way it is, but if a man was messing about with your wife, ordinarily you'd take a gun and you ought to shoot him.
But
a quote like that?
Mm.
Yeah. And the prophet says, instead of that, you'd be feeding for that soul.
Yes.
He's not doing that because that soul is lost. You don't even care about your wife so much, about messing about with your wife, you'd care about that soul.
Amen.
And that's touching, Brother Don, and the quotes he prayed is very touching. You're saying that you're not, brother. I won't be there. I'm not there. I'm not there. What those quotes are saying, I'm not there. I won't be there. I want that. I really want that. I really want that. I want to surrender more. This is very touching, and we praise God. God is really dealing with us here. God is really dealing with us here. God is calling us somewhere. God is calling us somewhere. And I want to be there. I want to surrender more. I want all that I am to give it to God. Let's sing that song again. If it doesn't bore you very much, I love it. I love it. The way it's come today, I still feel like I want that. Number 25. I didn't want that. Number 25. Number 25. Mm-hmm. Second stanza, all to Jesus I surrender, have read his feet and bow. Can we sing that?
Thank you.
is in our hearts, Lord. It's deep doubt, Lord, coming from our hearts, Lord. Because that is what we feel, Lord. We want to give ourselves completely to you, Lord. Take us, Lord. All things are possible with you. You can crush everything that is not like you in us and take it away. You can do it, Lord. Anything that is pulling us away into another direction, Lord, take it away. We want to surrender ourselves to you. We want you to take over. Anything, Lord, these bodies, our spirits, and so all that we are, take it, Lord. And let it serve you for the glory of your name. We bring with us this evening, Lord, we are hearing some news in India that our brother is suffering, Lord. And there's that song that says that you're a great musician. Lord, you are. You did die with Brother Branham. When Brother Branham died and was buried, and people used to go to him. And every disease and everything, Lord, he would call upon your name and they would go. Now, Lord, that God that was in Brother Branham is with us. Is in us, Lord. And we call upon your name for a brother who is suffering, Lord. We want him, Father, to be healed for the glory of your name. We commit him to you. We love him. And when he's suffering, Lord God, we are also suffering in our hearts. We are feeling for him, Lord. We pray that you have mercy upon him. He just lost his wife, Father. Comfort him and his children, Lord. We know it's a bad situation there, Father, and now this comes, Lord. We want the devil to take out his dirty hands from that property of God. We know he's our brother. Father, have mercy upon him, is our prayer. And it's Michael, who's not with us, Lord. We know his desire is to be here, but now there's a circumstance that he's not. Comfort him, Father. Strengthen him. Bless him, Lord. We know that you've blessed us, Lord. If there be any need in our midst, brothers, sisters, maybe somebody had something before you, Father. Lord, you know it. You know the hearts, Father, of the people, because you are the one who discerns the hearts and the minds of people. You can do it, Lord. And Father, if there be any need, there's not any need that is greater than you. All things are possible, Lord. Sometimes we don't have enough faith. But Lord, again, we are your children, Lord. We know that we are weak. You can give us that faith. Only one thing, Lord God, we've done. We've realized you. We've recognized you. We have known that we are your children. We have known, Father, that we are part of you, Lord. The Lord, we can call and you can hear, Father. You can do it. Whatever it is, Lord, whatever the needs are, meet them. And Lord, give us that in our hearts to glorify you, Lord. Always to glorify you, Lord, to worship you, to love you, to show the people, show the world, Lord God, that you are great. You are good God, caring God in all things. Father, we give glory now and honor. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.